The author of our passage this morning is an interesting fellow. Red-haired, curly-haired, freckle-faced, about 5'6", 5'8", tanned, vivacious, outgoing, vigorous. Who was he? David. That's right, King David. If you'll take and turn to the most wonderful passage that many Christians have known and have memorized, Psalm 23. And we're going to look at that passage this morning, and I want you to open your Bibles because we want you to look at the words this morning and see it. The Word of God says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might," what? Not sin against thee. As we look at Psalm 23, it is considered to probably be one of the most outstanding passages in all of the Old Testament in regards to comfort, to strength, to believer reinforcement. And he begins in an interesting fashion. Remember that David lived in a relationship of complete paganism. Surrounding Israel and Judah were only pagans. You say, what do you mean pagans? They were idolaters. They were immoral. They were illicit. Many of the nations deteriorated and fell apart around the children of Israel because of their sin. And they worshiped gods like Baal, and you've all heard about Baal, and Dagon, who was the fish head god, that they would take brand newborn babies and throw them into the flaming arms and be consumed. There was Ashtaroth, who was the goddess of fertility, and she completely overwhelmed many individuals. The places that were called places to worship were on the top of the hill surrounded by trees, and they would run around in their birthday suits. It was an ugly, ugly situation. It happened in Israel, too. But when we need to understand that when David writes Psalm 23, he's making a statement here more than what we even recognize. If you'll look at the verse, it says who? The first two words are? The Lord. And they are all in what? Capitals. Why is that? Does anyone know? Because every time it appears in the King James Version, it refers to Jehovah God. It is Jehovah. It appears in the first verse of Psalm 23 and the last verse of Psalm 23. And he's saying, I want you to know, no matter who else is around me and whatever else is done, I want you to appreciate the factor that it's the Lord. It is Jehovah God, the God of power and might. It is the Yeshua. It is the Jehovah of the Old Testament and the Jesus of the New. He is that great God. Now, when we begin to understand that concept, we know also Israel only stayed with God when the king was good. Is that right? When they had a bad king, what happened? They were all bad. And they went even worse than they were before. When they had a good king, they all served the Lord. David was committed to the Lord. And if you'll notice in this passage, in Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, the Lord, it is Jehovah, compared to all the other gods, who is my God? And we need to have that same attitude and that same character, ladies and gentlemen. We need to have the attitude, I don't care what anyone else is doing in the world. I don't care what else they're going to. I don't care what else they're participating in. I am going to, as a believer, do what? I am going to serve the Lord. And you need to make that determination, as Daniel did when he said, I have determined in my heart that I will not contaminate myself with the things of the world when he was in Babylon. I've made that decision. This is the decision that David has made here in chapter 23 and verse 1. And then he not only does that, he uses the present tense. If you'll notice, after the word Lord, the word is. He is not going to be. He is not been in the past. He has not going to be in the future. But he is at this moment, what? The Lord. And he's going to remain in my life. And he uses the next word, shepherd or pastor, the caregiver of sheep. Now, we know that David was a shepherd. Is that right? And he killed the lion and the bear. He saved the sheep. Is that correct? And he said, I want you to know that right now, at this moment in my life, that the Lord is the one who cares for me. And if you are a believer this morning, you can say amen to that. He's the one who cares for me. And as we watch over this portion of God's Word, He said, I want to tell you something. When I have recognized and maintained the relationship that the Lord is taking care of me and ministering to me, he makes a very important statement. Notice, I shall not what? I'm not going to want anything. Now we have needs and we have greeds. The Lord has promised to bless our what? Our needs, not our greeds. Sometimes we get greedy. Do we not? But the Lord said, I'm going to take care of it. David said, I want to recognize the factor that the Lord is my shepherd. And I want you to understand that I'm not going to have worry about anything. Now, David, as you read all of the Psalms, particularly 1 through 123, sometimes David got depressed. We often think of the heroes of faith as being, you know, staunch and unbelievable and sensational and that they never had any problems. Let me tell you what, Saul chased David and tried to kill him 3 times. But David responds with the factor, in those 3 areas, did the Lord take care of him? And the answer, of course, is yes. We often think about what God has done in the past and forget as we write into the future and as we deal with the present that we're going to have some difficulties that we're not going to be able to deal with. David said, I don't have to worry about that because I know in spite of all the things that the Lord is going to take care of me. That should be one of the most comforting, encouraging portions of God's word to your heart and life today. Notice verse 2. As he speaks, he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I don't know if you know anything about sheep or not, but sheep like to have lovely green grass. And if you don't move them consistently, they'll eat that grass right down to the roots and pull it out. So they need to be moved occasionally. Sometimes we don't like being moved, do we? In this relationship, sheep also are not driven. They are led. Not lead-footed, led biblically. And when we begin to look at this situation, the shepherd is the one who tells them, it's now time to rest. It's now time for you to be comforted. It's now time for you to know that I'm looking over you and watching over you. It's now time for you to understand that I care for you and I'm going to keep you. And as he does that, notice, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, sheep are squirrely. They get shaken up really quick. But they recognize the shepherd because the shepherd has taken care of them since they have come to birth. Now, think about this for a moment. Before you were a believer, was there anyone taking care of you spiritually? No. But when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he came into your heart and he didn't drive you. He tried to lead you. And he used circumstances and relationships to guide you and help you. And as we look at this passage today, the still waters are the ones that are fresh and refreshing. They are the ones who are calm and cool. Now, I have been to Israel, as some of you have been, I understand, and Brother Coleman led a group to view to go. And the sheep always look to the shepherd for whatever is going to take place. Because we know from the Word of God that sheep, and from history and from other shepherds, that sheep are some of the dumbest animals in the world. They're dumb, but they're easily squirreled. In other words, they can be shaken up very quickly and easily. So as he leads them by the still waters, which is not a threat, and he has them lie down, and they always lie close together. Now you think, well, that's kind of crazy. When I was in Israel, we went out into a hill in Bethlehem, and the guide said, now I want you to look out. And I looked out, and I saw this massive kind of brownish color all over the ground. And I thought, well, what is that? He said, those are the sheep. And they're laying so close together that you can't tell one from another. And I said, yes, but where are the shepherds? He said, oh, they're there. And it was getting close to evening, and it was time for the sheep to be divided and to go with their shepherds. And out of the clefts of the rocks came these shepherds. And as they came out, I began to hear these blood-curdling noises. And I began to think, what in the world are those? And I said to the guy, what are those noises that they're making? I said, they're almost shaking me up, making me very nervous. Said, that's the shepherd's voice that the sheep recognizes, and each shepherd has its own call. And the sheep began to divide. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and what? And they follow me. So as they lay down, as they are being watered, they recognize the shepherd because they've known him their entire life. Notice verse 3. He restoreth my soul. How often do you go through times when you wonder if anybody cares? How many times have you gone through things where you wonder if anyone's looking after you or caring for you? You see, the shepherd is aware. The sheep are not. They're looking at each other. Many times, and we do this ourselves, we compare one for another, we judge other people, we make statements and so on and so forth. But the shepherd has his eye on the sheep how much of the time? All the time. All the time. And so, as the sheep are watered and fed, as the sheep are being guided and directed, it brings comfort to their lives. And then he says, not only that, not only does he comfort my soul, but he, what? Leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He doesn't put me in danger. He doesn't put me in a position of difficulty. He doesn't do those things that are going to be harmful to me. He does the things that are right for me. And if you'll notice why he leads us in the paths of righteousness, he does it for what? His name's sake. Because, you know, he knows best. Now, we don't always know best, do we? As we look back in our lives, hindsight is far better than foresight, is it not? The shepherd has done and taken care of these sheep their entire lives and knows exactly what, when, and how to take care of them. And he's doing it because he knows that that's where his income is. That's where his care is. Many times, not realizing this, we are his sheep being taken care of and not realizing it. When I was growing up in Los Angeles, our next door neighbors bought a lamb. And they invited me over as a little kid to see their lamb. And I said, oh, isn't he cute? And I'll tell you, little lambs are so cute. They are cute. And they said, would you like to feed him? And I said, oh, sure. So they gave me a bottle and I fed the lamb. And that lamb stayed there until that bottle was bone dry. After that, I left the house and went back to my house. And a few minutes later, I heard this noise at the back. And I wondered, what in the world is going on outside? So my mom says, go out and check and see what's going on. There was the lamb. He had followed me home. You know what he's looking for? More milk, yeah. And the people next door said, when I brought him back home, when I just walked out and he followed me home, and I followed him to the next door neighbor, and they said, he's already imprinted on you. And the lambs that imprint on you want to stay with you. Have you imprinted on the Lord? Has he quieted your soul? Has he calmed your spirit? Has he encouraged your life? And every time you look at him, you know it's the best for you. And then as we move forward in that area, notice verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Sometimes we go through circumstances in our lives that we do not understand. Death, financial reverse, illness, emotional strain, on and on the list goes. But we need to understand that the shepherd knows. The shepherd knows. And sometimes we're not aware of the factor that we are worrying. There is a society in Los Angeles still today called the National Organization of Worriers. Are you aware of that group? Maybe you belong to it. Okay. And you can pay them to worry for you. You can send them a check and people will sit at a table and they will sit and look at your concerns, and they will sit there at the table and worry. How stupid is that? Do you know that 90% of the things you worry about never happen? So you're worrying 90% of the time for what? For nothing. And as a believer, as the Lord is with you and the shepherd is watching over you, my goodness gracious alive, if he's taking care of you and made the promises to you, you're worrying 100% of the time for nothing. Because he loves you. No matter what you walk through, no matter what you go through, he's there. Where Jesus himself said, "Lo, I'm what? I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm with you." And then he talks about the rod and the staff. Notice that. Thy rod and thy staff, they what? Can they comfort me? The rod was used for those sheep that wandered or strayed, and it was a long rod, and he'd reach over and give them a little right on you know where, the bottom. Oh, the shepherd's trying to get my attention. Sometimes he tries to get your attention, and you're not willing, so he gives you a little, and you, oh, all right, Lord, I understand. The staff was the crook, the shepherd's crook. Sometimes sheep tripped, fell, jumped into, went over a ledge or whatever it was, and he would reach down with that, with the lambs. Not usually with the sheep, because they knew better, but the lambs had a tendency to wander. And he'd reach down with that and pull them up. So as they walked with the shepherd, they would look and see above the shepherd's head the crook. They would also see the rod. Now, in old-time churches, back in the 1600s and 1700s, there was a fellow who sat at the church on a stool at the very back. Some of you may know about that. He was called the sexton. And he had a long pole that would reach the entire length of the pews in that particular church. On one end, he had a lead ball. On the other end, he had a feather. When the men fell asleep, they got the lead ball. When the ladies fell asleep, he turned it around and tickled them with a feather. It was a symbol of the staff to keep the sheep alert. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, maybe you'll fall asleep this morning as I speak at Sunday school time or maybe at church time. Hopefully not. I'm not going to use a rod. But I would remind you that your shepherd might when you're not doing what you're supposed to do. When you're not paying attention, when you maybe have not read the word or prayed or taken time to think about things that are in your spiritual life that need to be handled and dealt with. But he will and take care of you. And notice what he said at the end of the verse, of verse number 4, that would bring what? Comfort. Y'all have a chair at home that you like to sit in? Let's see. Anybody have a chair you like to sit? Nobody sits in that chair but you? And God forbid anybody touch that chair. Because that's the place when you're tired and weary that you what? You want to rest and you want to sit down. And you may even what? There you go. Confession is good for the soul. Okay. And this is the passage. That's the word that's there. When you maybe are disciplined. Maybe when you're corrected. Maybe when there are things that are being dealt with in your life. And you realize it's the Lord who loves me and is dealing with me. And it brings you great comfort. Great comfort. Notice verse number 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. When things are going absolutely wrong. Lord's still in charge. And he is making sure that you're taken care of. He's making sure that you're nurtured and nourished. He's making sure that you are being watched over. And he's doing it so that those who are watching and criticizing and finding fault and whatever else may be going on, that there's something else happening in your life. That you're in the presence of the Lord. You're sitting at his table. That's why communion is so important. It's a time of reflection and remembrance. Is that right? When you take of the bread and remember that his body was broken for you. When you take of the grape juice and you remember that his blood was shed for you. It should bring such tremendous opportunity. And someone said, well, I'm going through some awful things and I haven't been in church lately. By the way, when you're going through the worst times in your life, you know where you need to be? In church. The other day I was talking to some people and they were having some difficulties. And I said, when was the last time you were in the house of the Lord? Well, Pastor Gordon, it's been a while. I said, you know what? Best place for you to be is in the house of the Lord. I said, well, yeah, you're right. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. I said, man, you know, but when I'm in trouble, I think I'll just sort of try to figure it out myself. Man, you're in trouble. You're in more trouble at that moment than you can possibly realize. I was riding in an elevator several months ago, and a fellow got on the elevator, and he began to just cry. Big old strapping muscular dude. I mean, he was about 6'5", and just rippling everywhere, and here he was blubbering in the elevator. And I said, sir, can I help you? I'm a pastor. What's going on in your life? And then he really started to cry. And he told me about his mother who was dying, and he didn't know what to do. And she had tried to work with him and tried to encourage him spiritually, and he just had nothing to do with it. And I said, well, if you'd like me to come see her, I'd be glad to do that. No. He said, just have a word of prayer with me. And I said, all right. And so I had a word of prayer with him, and I said, this Sunday, where do you need to go? He said, I need to be in church. And he said, I need to pray. And he said, I need to ask God to deal with this situation. I said, you've begun in a good place. And you know, sometimes we get to a place in our lives, we don't know where to turn. But I'll tell you where you turn. You turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Get your eyes upon Him. And then he moves on in that verse, and he notice, he says, thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. The shepherd always carried with him three things. He carried oil, olive oil. He carried wine, and he carried something to bind up sheep. Because they would run into thorns and thistles, and they would get cut and bruised. Sometimes a lamb would run around and get away from him, and it would have to be found and then brought back. And if it did it enough times, you've seen Salzman's Head of a Christ, but also Salzman painted another picture of the Good Shepherd. You all seen that picture. And if you look at the shepherd, he has a little lamb in his arms. Have you seen that? But if you look extra close, you'll see that that lamb's leg is wrapped. And you know why it's wrapped? Because the lamb had a tendency to wander. And so the shepherd would take the lamb to a rock and break its leg on purpose. Then he would bind it up. And because the lamb's leg was injured, he would carry the lamb in his arms. Now listen to me. Hear this closely. Sometimes the only way that sheep could learn where there was safety was where? In the arms of the shepherd. This morning, this week, this month, next month, you may go through some horrible things and wonder, why has God allowed this in my life today? Why me? He may draw you closer to himself for the only purpose of learning the principle that the only place that's safe is safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. Last verse. As he has done this, they're filled with joy. If every person here this morning is a Christian and you realize that goodness of God, your cup is not only full, it's flowing over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I realize without any concern, and he'll take care of me. And as he takes care of me, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And ultimately, he speaks of eternity. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for however? Forever. So whether we are here or not, whether we are in heaven or not, we have to realize, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son is condemned already. Understanding the factor that as a believer this morning in the house of the living God at Calvary Baptist Church, if you're a believer, Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Isn't that marvelous? Somebody said, well, where does the soul go? Well, the body goes into the dirt, but the soul immediately goes into the presence of the Lord. One day you're breathing the lousy air of Yucca Valley, and the next day you open your eyes and what? You're breathing the celestial air of the eternal kingdom. For how long? Forever. Forever. You know, one of the marvelous things about being a believer, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's not for a week or a month or short period. It's forever. And the promise is that when you ask Him into your heart, that you become a child of God. And being a child of God, God wants His sheep. He wants His children to be with Him. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Precious. This morning, as we come together to worship and honor the Savior, you should be comforted in your hearts more today with Psalm 23 than ever before. And leave this place and say, as I leave, the Lord is with me. The Lord is watching over me. The Lord is keeping me. The Lord is sustaining me. And I'm going to dwell with the Lord as I walk every day and as I take every breath. And when I cease to breathe, I will breathe in the heavenly auras of eternity. And Jesus will be there with me, and I with Him. This evening, I'm going to speak of the second coming. I hope you'll be here. It's a wonderful portion of God's Word. And as we look towards that coming, we need to be prepared for it. Amen? Let's serve the Lord in gladness and praise, and let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, may Your Word this morning nurture our hearts and our lives in such a way that we cannot help but understand and know the truths of the living God, that we cannot help but apply them to our everyday life, that we cannot help but rejoice in the good God that we serve and the Lord that we love, and His passion and compassion would be placed upon our hearts in such a way that we will know that as believers, even though we may be unsure of our faith, that we'll be reassured of our faith today as we walk with Him. May Your presence, Your power, Your strength, Your ability to keep us and sustain us only reinforce our heart and our mind and our thoughts, that as we walk with the Savior, we will praise Him with gladness and joy. And we'll thank You, and we'll honor You, and we'll glorify You, because we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, may the Lord bless you this morning.